Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you today from Iowa City. Penn State will play Iowa tonight at 9, 8:30 the airtime, and then the team will get back about 3 in the morning. But remember, it's all about the student athletes. All right. TV contract helps, but there are moments where you're like, ay, come on. By the way, Dan Patrick and I are going to disagree on the Michigan thing, but that's a matter of opinion. Sorry. Now, they do have a lot of people at the combine, that's for sure. Some interesting prospects. Matt Catrillo is going to join us today. And Neil Coulong. Tomorrow, we'll get Joe Lunardi on the show. Looking forward to that. Along with... And then Tony Knopp is coming up on Thursday. We have a lot of guests the rest of the week, as a matter of fact. Day got off to a great start. It's after 7 o'clock in the morning. My phone rings. we flew in here last night. I'm like, wow. Hey, can you be on our show? I'm like, oh. So I had to shake off the cobwebs. Like, sure. great. Oh.
Maybe that's what I have to start doing, start calling people when I get up with the kid in the morning.
Mercy. I was like, okay, I can do that. Yeah, and then the first question I got was, are you okay? I'm like, am I okay? You just woke me up. we didn't fly in the afternoon, you know. It's like, that goes with the, you'll find this is a funny one from Saturday. Penn State plays the game with Indiana. It's Coaches versus Cancer Day. It's Alumni Basketball Day, the whole thing. So I'm walking in before the game, and I look into the practice gym, and I see all these tables set up. I go, they must be having some event in there today. Whatever. So I go up, do the game. Game's over. And I'd seen the alumni at shoot-around, but I didn't get a chance to talk with any of them because then they went into a film session. And the alumni, at that point, they'd watched practice, but they weren't allowed in the film session. All right, so I thought, okay. So the game's over, and Dick Girardi and I are walking out. Now, Dick and I were not invited to the event by the Hoops Club. Dick and I were not invited to the event by Coaches versus Cancer, and we weren't invited to the event with the alumni. But we decided, what the heck, we'll just crash it anyway. So, because we're on our way to the parking lot, we're like, let's just stop in for a second. So we stop in, and then somebody pulls me aside and said, hey, could you get up and talk? I'm thinking to myself, I wasn't even invited to this thing. Now you want me to talk? Like, okay, sure. It's like, it's a weird world we live in, man. A weird world. And speaking of weird world, we'll get to Matt Catrillo in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. He's been waiting a week. A lot of emotion about to pour out over the next 15 minutes. Todd, this is where we just sit back and just turn him loose. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, and maybe it's time to remove the children from the room, Matt Catrillo.
You know, this is perfect that you're broadcasting from Iowa today, because even you would probably ran from broadcasting from Iowa.
Why would I do that?
Well, just from incidents in the past with Iowa fans and the disaster of an athletic program and everything else.
Well, yeah, the Iowa fan thing about the what happened in football a couple of years ago was really disappointing because it made no sense. I mean, I think that a lot of it has to do with Penn State's tremendous success in wrestling and how Penn State has just literally just taken completely the aura away from Iowa wrestling.
Yeah, of course they have. Exactly. That's the only thing they had left.
And, well, they got Caitlin Clark. But
other than Caitlin Clark, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
But I will say this. Cale Sanderson, I believe, is going to be the guest on the coaches show Thursday night. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, absolutely. It's been another good run for them. I saw a nice 55-0 win over Edinburgh, despite Taurasi's injury, so hopefully he gets better there. But in terms of this week, I had a couple of things ready, but then what happened in the Knicks-Pistons game, sometimes material presents itself, and it goes back to what we've talked about before about trying. This is a problem, I think, in all four major sports with the in terms of with officials and umpires and holding them accountable. And this is a perfect opportunity for the NBA to do that. Because now I give the official credit. He admitted last night that he made the wrong call. Now, going to the call itself, it is egregiously bad. Especially if you see it from the opposite angle, looking down court. So my problem isn't necessarily missing the call right then and there, because the official is right there. Yeah. So because the guy's crashing him a little bit, it can throw you off. Because I had something similar happen in one of my high school games that I called last week, where it was an out-of-bounds play, and a couple players came crashing in, and the official that was there, who I know very well, I work with him at Bucknell, he called the ball out-of-bounds against the opposite team. And he said he knew he made the wrong call because he got thrown off because of players crashing into him. It was a similar situation in that game last night, but here's my problem with it. You're under 2 minutes to go, and the NBA doesn't do this enough, and it drives me crazy because the rule is there for a reason. You're under 2 minutes. Go and review the play. You're supposed to review the play with any close calls under 2 minutes. That's what I don't get. So it's one thing to be in a tough spot with the call because you have guys coming at you. It's another thing then not to review it and ignore it, especially when it's a close game. So that's what they need to do. That's what they should have done and handled it. That's my biggest problem with it, is maybe not the call itself, but the way you don't go to replay and you don't use replay to help you. I don't understand that at all. That's where the NBA needs to come down. And I'll tell you the other thing, too. If the NBA fines Monty Williams for his comments last night, then Adam Silver is going to lose a lot of brownie points for me, because I think he's the best commissioner out of the four commissioners. But if he allows the league to find Monty Williams for those comments last night, then there's something wrong, and that's a difference. Then we have a more serious problem.
Yeah, I didn't see the game last night. My only question would be, did Monty Williams already use his challenge? Because this is in the final couple of minutes, you can determine out of bounds, things like that. If Monty Williams didn't have a challenge, then it becomes an issue. And that's why you have to be judicious as to when you use it. And it would seem to me he didn't have it, because you can then take a look at that play because it is challenged and then go from there. So that I don't know, because I didn't see the game.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. That I don't know either, because I did not see the game myself until I saw everything that happened this morning. So, yeah, that is a good point.
That would just
regardless,
be
it's a that, play that still needs to be right. used via replay.
I mean, that would just be my question. Did Monty Williams still have his challenge? And that's something I'd have to look up. I don't know. Because at that point, they can challenge fouls. But you only get a challenge. And that's why you don't see a lot of coaches using it in the first half. They're trying to save it as long as they can. And he may have used it some other time that benefited the Pistons. I don't know.
And then but the second part going back to this is, again, this is not just the NBA. This is all four major sports. Is I know officiating is a tough job. I know, you know, you have to ride that fine line because you want to make sure you have enough officials to keep them going, because if you don't have them, you don't have games. I mean, look at the PIAA, and there's an official shortage there for various reasons. You and I can go on and on about that. But at the same time, you still need to make sure that these officials are held accountable. So you still have these fair games, because Monty Williams is absolutely right. If you have a team that does everything properly, and this is in the NCAA too, where you talk to the league about certain calls, you send tapes, you do everything that you're supposed to, but then you still don't get any results and the same mistakes keep happening, especially by the same officials that teams might be complaining with against and asking for the tapes and things like that, well, then what good are they anyway? So there has to be a better way of riding the fine line of, yes, you have to work with the officials because of how tough the job is, but at the same time, that you need to help hold them accountable. Whether it's docking them points for the regular season and postseason, suspending them, whatever it is, fining them, I don't care. But all four major sports, and I think even on the NCAA level too, for that matter, because I've seen my share of issues this year on the Patriot League side of things, is you just have to find a way to get that fine line and hold officials more accountable to make sure that the calls and the games are fair. This is the prime example of it, where you have a coach that, you look at his body language last night, it's more like, what do I have to do? He literally said, what else do my players have to do? I'm tired of hearing my players saying, what else do I have to do, coach? I mean, I get there's only so much officials can do, but it works both ways here. So something has to be done, plain and simple.
Yeah, on the college level, they're independent contractors, but they are hired by conferences as independent contractors. I've said for a while, and again, the Big Ten is in an interesting position right now. The Big Ten, because it has the big TV contract, has a little more income to work with. To me, if I were them, I would hire 25 full-time officials and make sure that they are limited on the number of games, because you're going to pay them extra. That they're limited on games. Because part of the problem that you have is that they get to this time of the year and they are exhausted. I was talking to an official last week in Nebraska. I won't say which one because it would be unfair to him. And he had just done a game in Los Angeles. And he was telling me how, look, he says, I took an extra day to get here. He says, I really needed the day off. Right, and the guy's a heck of an official, by the way, in my personal opinion. But that's where we are right now. If you're working 5, maybe 6 games in a week as an independent contractor, boy, I mean, that's draining. And I think that as a conference, it would not hurt the Big Ten, let's just say, to hire 15 to 25 permanent officials where they are locked into just you and get adequate rest with extra compensation.
Yeah, no question. And I think they should do that on the professional level, because, I mean, I'm not sure what the situation is with Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NHL, but I know for a fact NFL referees, a lot of them have full-time jobs, and then they do the games as well. I think full-time at anything, at any job, is everything, because you can fully devote yourself to that, and the more time you can give to whatever that position is, then the better you're going to be and the better everybody else around you is going to be. I mean, that goes with any job. That should be common sense to anybody.
Well, they spend money in leagues and in conferences on all sorts of things and individuals and so forth, and then there are times where on a full-time basis, they're nickel and diming using part-time officials or independent contractors, and it's the critical part of the game. You need to throw your heart and soul into the game and not all the other nickel and dime stuff that really, to me, is nice to have, but doesn't have any impact on games at all. And there's a lot of front office stuff in leagues where you sit back and go, that's a position for what? They do what? Really? How about the stuff about the game? Nobody cares about that. They care about the game and how it's being officiated. That's where you need to throw, among other areas, efforts into. You need to throw efforts into the games, not some of the other stuff that you have. Because you'll see the masthead, the number of jobs, NBA, NFL, like, it goes on and on and on. Like, okay, but we can't pay an official full-time. Okay. Great.
Oh, 100%. I mean, and getting back to the NCAA, again, just sharing my experiences and seeing the Patriot League, both men's and women's side of things, I hear all the time that you've got officials from Division II, even Division III, that are coming up and doing these games because of the shortage. I mean, that's not acceptable. I mean, that just can't happen, especially this time of the year. And I tell you, it really hurts. It affects the product. It really does. I mean, so yes, I think all levels, all aspects of it, there's got to be a better way to handle this, because once it starts affecting the product and the games, then you've got a problem.
And again, I respect, as you know, how much respect I have for officials. We all make mistakes. You know, well, Friday night, Shikalimi play-by-play, no. But everybody else makes mistakes along the way. So players make mistakes, coaches do, officials do. And outside of the Shikalimi broadcast, broadcasters do.
Well said.
Yeah. I mean, we all do. And again, stuff like that happens. Oh, goodness gracious. I'm getting a call from Minneapolis. I haven't even checked in yet. I don't check until Friday. Leave me alone.
Oh, is that where you're headed next?
Yeah, that's the next stop on the tour. Yeah, it's this weekend. It's a Saturday.
At least you have some warm weather going up there. I heard it was 68 up there today. In Minneapolis?
Well, I'm in Iowa City right now.
I know you're in Iowa right now, yeah, but I saw today that the forecast was like in the 60s up there in Minneapolis.
It's 68 degrees. I mean, it's really,
yeah.
It feels balmy. It feels balmy here. It's incredible. So there you go. And we're going to have Jody Mack on later in the week to talk about Eagles free agency.
Oh, yes. Miss Jody Mack.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about Eagles free agency. Like, who wants to go there?
It's a very precarious situation with stuff that's happened over the past couple of weeks, especially that came from, take it with a grain of salt, because it's Fox Sports 1, but yeah.
Hey. But you guys keep it real.
I have to.
I mean, and then it comes time to get free agents. They go, I don't want to go there. They keep it real. Oh, okay. I know it. I got the voicemail. Some guy in Minneapolis wants tickets. That's just me. Yeah, welcome.
Have fun with that.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I think the best thing the Eagles have going for them right now is that they're in the same division with the Cowboys. All right, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Great service department that they're looking for new technicians all the time. Routine, you know, all the stuff you need to have done. And then difficult stuff. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So they have 8 winter workouts. Formal winter workouts. And today was number 7. I went to one last week. The last one's going to be Friday. And I will go to that before I fly to Minnesota. I do want to see them one more time. Spring practice will start on March 12th. So the coaches, of course, the position coaches pick out the winter workout winners in their eye. So Danny O'Brien at quarterback picked Jackson Smolik today. At running back, Jaywan Sider went with Nicholas Singleton. Wide receiver, Marcus Hagans went with Malik Mega. Last week, Mega was paired up against Julian Fleming. And Fleming actually, in a couple of drills I was watching, beat Mega. And Mega walks by me and goes, "Ah, Steve," he says, that kills my losing streak. I'm like, "Oh, I mean my winning streak." He says, "That kills my winning streak." I'm like, "Oh, okay." Maybe it was my fault. I don't know. But he won today. Tight end, this is the freshman, Luke Reynolds. I mean, we're very interested to watch Luke Reynolds in the spring drills. I'm interested really to watch him. Offensive line, Vega Ioane. Phil Troutwine picked him. Ty Howell, of course, picked Luke Reynolds. Defensive line, Deion Barnes went with Zariah Fisher. I thought he looked terrific last week watching him. Another guy I thought looked terrific last week. And Tom Allen picked Kobe King at linebacker. Corner, Antoine Belgrave Shorter, the freshman. At safety, K.J. Winston. And Anthony Poindexter made that pick. The other pick made by Terry Smith. And Justin Lustig on special teams picked long snapper Blaze Sokach Minnick. So you've had 4 different quarterbacks win, with Perbula getting 4 of them so far, and then one each for Drew Aller, Jackson Smolik, Ethan Grunkmeyer. Running back, you've had 4 different winners there. Nicholas Singleton's won it 3 times, Wallace, Martin, and Davis, the others. Actually, Martin's won it twice, Quentin Martin. Wide receiver, it's the second time that Mega's won. Offensive line, 5 different guys win. Nick Dawkins has won 3 times. Addison Penn, the transfer from Duke, once. Anthony Donko once. Javen Williams once. That was the day I was there. And Venga Ioane today. Defensive line so far, Zariah Fisher, he won the day I was there as well. Well, he's won 4 times now. Zane Durant's won twice, and Jamel Lyons. Linebacker, Tyler Elston's won twice, Dom DeLuca's won twice, Tony Rojas has won twice, and today Kobe King. Corner, Cam Miller's won 3 times. A.J. Harris, who's a terrific athlete, has won once. Elliot Washington's won twice. And today, Antoine Belgrave Shorter. At safety so far, K.J. Winston has won twice, including today. Zaki Wheatley has won twice. Lamont Payne has won twice. And Jalen Reed has won once. And in special teams, Tyler Dzanski's won 3 times. Blaze Sokach Minnick has won twice. Sandra Sahadic and Riley Thompson have each won once. Look, they try to make these as competitive as possible because competition brings out that effort. I mean, you're fighting for everything here. You're fighting for everything. Nothing is assumed. And that's what this is about. I mean, everything goes in stages. Everything goes in stages. And this is the winter workout stage. The next stage is going to be the spring practice stage. Then after that, it's going to be the transfer portal stage. Then after that is going to be the off-season workout stage. Then after that, it's going to lead into the preseason stage. So everything goes in stages. Right? And you've got to be able to, at each stage, go out there with the idea you're going to win each stage. So that's what they're in right now, because there's competition in everything with this. You are competing all the time. It's not just a question of trying to make yourself better. You're trying to do something that gets you noticed on a positive side and gets you noticed with, when somebody looks at it and says, you know what? We ought to be looking at X more. You know what? That, it looks to me like X is past, starting to either be even or go past Y. That's just the nature of, and that's why you make everything a competition. That's why you do it.
It's important for everybody, but is it, you kind of feel like it's more important for the freshmen and the transfers, kind of, you know, to see that they're, I don't know if buying in's the right way to put it, but they're, that they're ready to do the work that everybody else is doing.
You are looking for that, but you know what? You want to make sure that your veterans are tone setters that show the younger players how it is supposed to be done. So they have a responsibility to show the younger players or the transfers how, quote, I'm talking about an internal thing here, how, quote, we do it here. So that's a big responsibility too, Todd. All right. And then from there, after having that example set, then what do the younger players and the transfers then do with it? But there is a response. Just because you've been around the team doesn't make this easier in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I think there's more responsibility on you to be the leader, to go out there and show, you know what, this is our standard. This is what you need to do to meet that standard. And that's... So I see what your point is, but there's a lot of responsibility on an older player that I've always said that if your best player is your hardest worker, that sets the tone for everybody else in the organization. Now, of course, in ours, you and I are pretty much on our own. But, I mean, that's a... No, bad story.
He leads by words, not example.
Well, he leads the league in word salad. It's like, I don't know. And I remember back when, like, wait, okay, I'm lost here. But that's... that's why I'll go over and I'll watch a winter workout. And, you know, like I said, I'll go to Friday, so I'll get the two of them. And, well, you know, with a basketball schedule, I mean, like, it was today. I had no shot of going today. I flew in here yesterday. But that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a couple things. Obviously, I'll look out and see, like, okay, who's not participating today, or maybe who's limited participating today, whatever. I'll look at that part. You know, this stretches out over 4 weeks. But then I'll look at, and I will be looking, especially this one drill in particular that I will look at. There's two drills in particular I will look at that I want to see that competitive side come out. And you may not be winning your drill, But if you are busting your backside, right, I mean, like really maximizing yourself, that shows too, even though you may not have won the drill against the individual you're paired up against. So it works in a couple of ways. So.
Well, and I was going to say, and it's also a way to build bonding, because I'm sure that all those workouts stink. They're not easy.
I mean, look, you have to stick together in this. And I think that it does create a bond. But at the same time, you know, this is an important time. I mean, I think everybody knows that can count. That with incoming freshmen coming in, Penn State's got a lot of guys on this roster right now. Well, when they get to training camp, you have to have 85. Okay? So what's going to happen between now and the last 2 weeks of April? Right? Have you done something to cement your spot where you now have a great starting point in training camp? Have you done enough where, you know what, I may not be crazy about where I am, but I worked hard enough where when I get to the transfer portal, people will notice how hard I worked. Now, there's a lot of things that come into play here individually. And you're right about the team bonding part of it. But I'm impressed with the transfers. Some of the freshmen have been very impressive. There's no question. In terms of, like, their pure athleticism. And, you know, and then I look at a guy like Danai Dennis Sutton. He's 270 pounds now, and he moves. I mean, he moves. I mean, the effort put in by Akeem Beeman, the effort put in by Devon Ellis, that sets a tone. The effort put in by K.J. Winston, who, when it's not to his standard, gets mad. Okay, that tells me something, too. I'll just shake it off. No. They expect more out of themselves. Well, good. Well, that's... Yeah, you try to make sure it doesn't get in the way of your performance, because, I mean, as I've told you, people say, hey, he's playing angry. You know how ineffective you are when you're angry?
I believe most high school coaches usually say that emotion lasts for about the first series, and then that's about it.
Well, I've talked about that a million times, Todd.
Yeah.
And I've said, hey, look, I always love the big locker room speech, which is Hollywood, right? Okay? And you know, they go flying out of the tunnel, the place goes crazy, and the whole thing. And then we're in a commercial break, and then there's the coin toss, and then there's another commercial break. Right? It's like 15 minutes since you had the big talk. Right? And you can have all the emotion in the world, and guess what? The first time you get smacked in the mouth, hey, let's give the tremendous sports philosopher, Mike Tyson, his due once again. Everybody has a plan until you get hit. Then it's what you do after you get hit. I mean, that's reality. That is reality. Okay? That's why I always love that. And the emotion and the bulletin board material and blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay. We got a lot of blah 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 out there. I think what bulletin board material does is it may make you practice maybe with a little more focus or something like that. But when it comes to the game, as soon as you get smacked, belted, whatever, it's like, okay, I better be better in the next play. I swear, people, there are. Most fans are great about it, but you've got a section of a fan base. Sometimes they're not realistic about what sports actually is. Like, guess what? Like, you're going to get beat sometimes. Right? If you can win more battles than you lose during the course of 2 hours in a basketball game or 3 hours in a football game, okay, you know, you're going to be better off for it. But there are going to be a couple of times you're like, ay. And there are going to be a couple of times like, yeah. That's just the reality of it. Yeah. That's the way, I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, tonight, Penn State's going to play Iowa. There are going to be times tonight where Tony Perkins, who I think Perkins is a really good guard, is going to get the better of Ace. It's just going to happen. Okay? And there are going to be a whole bunch of times tonight where Ace gets the better of Perkins. It's going to happen. Which one can win that battle more often than not is going to be important in tonight's game. Right? You're not going to win every battle. Right? And it just becomes, yeah, I mean, it becomes a long grind. You know, football, 3 hours to 3 hours and 15 minutes of grinding it out. Right? We talk all the time about the pivotal 5 to 7 plays in every game, and it probably is right around 5 plays. For all you know, it's play 3. Or it could be play 40. Or it could be play 72. Same thing in basketball. There's 70 possessions or thereabouts in a game, right? For all we know, the 10th possession of the game sets the tone for a run. And Dick and I talk about it all the time, that there are 3 times to win a game. One of them is the first half. And Saturday's a good example. I mean, you could make an argument on Saturday when they beat Indiana. They went on that run, that 8-0 run to end the first half. I think it was 8, maybe it was 8-1, right? It was an 8-1 run to end the first half. That was the pivotal run of the game. That gave Penn State the working margin to make the second half a better half. I mean, yeah, Indiana got it down to 2 and immediately Hicks hit the 3. But, again, you know, where was the margin created? The margin was created where Indiana was forced to play uphill the entire second half because of what Penn State did at the end of the first half. All right. Yeah, and, again, because Jack and I and Dick and I are broadcasting every play of every game, and we're not just tuning in or tuning out, you know what I mean? Which I mean, a lot of fans have a tendency to do, and I completely get it. Because when I'm watching games, I do that. I mean, I do that. Right? So we're doing every play of every game, so we know where the key sequences are. Right? And that, you know, it's always easy to get to the end of the game. Okay, the end of the game. They're able to, you know, that was the key sequence. And sometimes it is. The end of the game against Illinois was the key sequence. Now, Penn State led for 14 minutes in the first half of that game, and that allowed them to at least have enough collateral to at least still be in the neighborhood in the second half. So there's a lot of things that go into it. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment as we continue from Iowa City, where it's 70 degrees today, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Todd. So do you know what the high temperature here in Iowa City is today?
I'm going to go with 68.
Right now it's 70 degrees.
Hey.
Do you know what the low temperature is tonight?
Only because I looked at our weather for tomorrow. I'm going to guess 26.
13. Like, they say it's going to get one more degree, get to a high of 71. And then it's going to be 13 degrees, and it's supposed to be snowing when we take off tonight. I'm like, God, really? This is crazy.
How do you know what to pack?
I didn't. I just put in what I normally say. I'll just give it a shot and go from there. Oh, man.
Should have put your clubs in. You might have been able to get 9 in.
Well, I had to do this show.
Hey, you can do it from the cart.
From the cart, yeah. The Broncos say they're going to make a call in 2 weeks about Russell Wilson. The Bears say they're going to make their quarterback call as quickly as possible. And all this about Saquon Barkley not being franchise tagged. Au contraire, mon frere, because Giants general manager Joe Shane said it might be unlikely, but it's not off the table. They use a second tag on Barkley.
I don't think that would make him very happy.
He said, I wouldn't say the franchise tag is off the table. And the tag would be $11.9 million.